Hey everybody, welcome to a new episode. I can't quite remember the name since I haven't been making these episodes. I think I was at, episode 5? So I'm back. I wanna do a good job and publish constantly. So I will try to publish one episode per week. You might be able to spot that I am publishing podcast episodes, which are more or less audio versions of the articles I publish on my blog. But as long as the content is relevant and the feedback is positive from you, I will keep on doing this. So the topic of this episode is the ESLint virus backdoor. I don't know what to call it. It was an issue in ESLint scope that was reported last week by, I think, Andrei Mihailov, I believe is his name. His GitHub username is @pronebird. And on Thursday, July 12th, so 1 week from now, yes, exactly 1 week from now, last Thursday, he reported an issue on the ESLint-scope module that was titled Virus in ESLint Scope. It was a question. And the gist of it is that there was some malicious code being added to the module's code base that affected version 3.7.2, which was downloading the code of a bin on pastebin, and then it would eval it, so it would interpret it in the current Node.js runtime context, and then it would run that code as actual JavaScript code within the context of your application, or actually within the context of your linting process, because ESLint-scope is a core ESLint module. And I think somehow the attacker gained access to the module's code base, and not actually the module's code base, but I believe the NPM authentication token used to publish the module. So they just altered the files and then they published this version 3.7.2. Anyway, the gist of it is that the ESLint team was amazing, and they like took the issue really serious, and they basically took it down really, really fast. So as I said, what the code actually did was that it would download some code from a bin on pastebin. It would then take that code, the content of that document, it would evaluate the JavaScript within the context of your current Node.js process. And what the evaluated code did is that it would read your npm rc file from your home directory, your user's home directory. And for the ones of you who don't know, npmrc is the preference file that npm uses to authenticate with registries, for example. So it would read the npmrc file. It would then extract the contents from there. Basically, it would extract the authentication token. So it would only read your auth token for npm, and then it would make two calls to two analytics services. One was StatCounter, and one, I believe, it was HiStats. And in the referrer header, it would create like some sort of URL that would also contain your NPM token, NPM authentication token, and it would send that to the statistics service. And this attacker was pretty creative, because they basically made the requests to HiStats and to StatCounter look like they were some Webpack generated URLs. So one of the referrer URLs was http://1.a/whatever your npm token would be, and this was the request to HiStats, and the other one was http://2.b/yourauthentication token. So they were making sure by hitting both analytics services that they have, let's say, a backup for this data. This was actually a pretty dangerous issue because, as you well know, or as many of you know, ESLint is one of those node modules that almost everybody in the JavaScript community who's serious about JavaScript, or actually, I don't want to belittle people who don't use ESLint. ESLint is mostly used by teams who are delivering applications in production with technologies that rely on Webpack for their build process, because it's this whole community and hype around a certain combo of technologies. So infecting this core module of one of the core modules we use in our day-to-day development activities was pretty dangerous, and I think it can have like a pretty nasty blast radius. So if you want to fix this, if you want to get rid of this issue, and you don't know whether or not you have a cached version of the module, just look in your node modules directory and in your package lock or yarn lock files for ESLint-scope version 3.7.2. I think you should clean your node modules. I think that this is the first thing you should do. Just clean your node modules. Before that, revoke all your NPM tokens. Like, you should really do that. Enable two-factor authentication for your NPM account. Limit the number of people that can publish to that NPM account, because the more people, the more opportunities for other types of attacks besides, I don't know, phishing and all that. Like, it can be social engineering, it could be even stealing in the token from a coffee shop, although I don't think that that's the case. I don't see any hacker just going to the coffee shop and actually doing some physical social engineering and hacking for an NPM token, but it can happen. So you limit the number of people that can publish to NPM. You need to be very, very careful with the services that you use to do automatic dependency upgrades, like deployment tools and stuff like that. Make sure you pin down the versions for your module. So definitely use a log file, package-lock.json or yarn.lock if you use Yarn. And of course, don't use the same password everywhere. So these are the steps that you need to take in order to fix this issue. If you want to read more or get a text version of what I said, you can head over to my website and read the full article. So it's opera.rocks/blog/fix-eslint-scope-backdoor. I called it a backdoor. I don't think that it's actually a backdoor. It's what, a virus? Whatever. It's exfiltrating data. It's not actually providing the person who launched it access to your system. It's more or less providing them with access to your NPM account. But either way, go to my website and read more if you want to learn more. Now, the funny thing is that I published this article on Friday, July 13, and this was mostly because on Thursday, when this issue was reported, I was actually trying to fix it, because while I was at my client's office and we were trying to do a deployment on a QA environment, because we wanted to do an end-to-end testing of the application I'm currently working on, something failed in our build process, in our CI pipeline. And basically the module that was erroring out was ESLint, and it was failing because some HTTP request failed, and I found out that we were actually infected with this, and the logs looked exactly like what other people have reported after the pastebin link code was removed. So I tried to track down any traces of the issue in our systems. Fortunately, we're not publishing, like with this client, I'm not publishing anything to any NPM registry. Most of the modules that we have as NPM modules We have them on GitHub, and we are installing them using Git URLs. I know that's a very sensitive area, a different story, because, well, NPM doesn't handle Git URLs well, but for our needs, we found that Yarn works pretty well. So we're using that and we're using Git URLs. But nevertheless, I wanted to make sure that none of our collaborators were using something and they got infected and they infected us. I wanted to do like a proper paper trail of this. Fortunately, we weren't affected, but it was really funny because I saw the issue. I didn't know what it was. We just triggered the build again and it worked because probably the system did some automatic upgrading. And the thing was that after the build passed and we started testing, I saw this report somewhere. I started reading and I was looking at the logs. I was looking at the issue and I was like, crap, this is us too. So it took me a while to make sure that we're safe. And then I wrote the article and I published it on Friday. Now, what's even funnier is that this morning I was watching Ryan Dahl's 2018 presentation at JSConf 2018, if I'm not mistaken, where he was talking about the things he regrets from Node.js. And if you look at minute 6:45, so after 6 minutes and 45 seconds, Ryan is actually talking about Node.js security. And what he's saying is that he wouldn't want to download ESLint, a big code base like ESLint, and run it and worry that it would be able to take over his system. Like, this was really, really funny. Like, it was 7 a.m. in the morning and I bursted out laughing because he was like basically describing more or less what happened a week ago. And he was doing this, like, I think the video was published on June 6th or something like that. A friend recommended that I watch it because he said that Ryan is working on this interesting, let's say, Node.js alternative called Dino, which uses TypeScript and some Go thing. And while I was watching this, I heard Ryan and I saw Ryan talking exactly about this issue that Node.js has, that you basically run it in a very privileged mode because it has access by default to the file system, a lot of system calls, and to the network as well. I'm not sure how this can be fixed. I'm sure that there are a lot of creative people out there already thinking of either open source libraries or actually building companies on this ESLint issue and capitalizing on the traction of the issue. But the point is that this needs to be fixed. And from Ryan's presentation, what I understood is that this Dino runtime, when you will run, he said that the result of a build for Dino would be a single binary, just like you get with, I believe, Go, right? It's an executable. And you would run that and you would have to explicitly allow it, like pass some arguments to allow it to access network or file system or whatever other system functionalities your application needs to access, which is a pretty good idea in my opinion. I'm curious how this will turn out. I'm curious about the support that Ryan will have, if he's going to be supported by the Node.js Foundation, or how the open source community will react to it. All in all, the issue is no longer affecting people as far as I've read, but if you have doubts, just go ahead, look at read my article, like I said, opera.rocks/blog/fix-es-lint-scope-backdoor. Look at how to fix this. It's near the top of the article, and just go through those steps just to make sure that you're not affected. Other than that, I will add Ryan's presentation, and I think I will also add the link to this article I wrote and published in the show notes. This was it. Big news again, I'm back. Hopefully I'll be consistent enough, so make sure if you're listening to keep me accountable and pester me to publish more, because I have a lot of things to say. I just need to get myself together and do these recordings and do some editing and some publishing and some writing. So this was it. Make sure to follow me. I am at Oprah Rocks. So that's OPREAROCKS at Oprah Rocks on almost every social media platform you know and use. Give me some rating on iTunes, like rate the show on iTunes. This really means a lot. So for the two of you who are listening, thank you, and catch you in the next one.